logo be emblazoned upon a magical talisman, no label shall ever impart its influence upon the triumvirate which constitutes the inquisitive parcel of this roundest of tables. We are among friends, and there be no labels here. Let the no label round table commence!
This is Sean.
This is Miranda.
And Joe.
And Brian.
Yes, we're here with Brian Gray, and this is the No Label Roundtable podcast, and we're sitting down with Brian for a little while here, and he's a local musician, recording artist, tattoo artist, jack of many trades, probably more.
Jackass of many trades.
So we're just going to sit down and just kind of pick his brain a little bit about, what he knows, some things going on locally, what his life's like around Casper for the time being. So, anyways, I guess today, a post that you made, you and some friends started up a recording studio recently. Will you tell us about that a little bit?
Well, it's actually the third incarnation of this deal. Many years ago, back when I was in Epitome, way back when we were all kids and hanging out, we started a recording studio down in the VFW building, the old VFW building. And, you know, it was basically just a jam space with some stuff on the wall. And back then, you know, you had the old digital console recorders.
Right.
You know, there was no, like, Pro Tools yet.
Yeah.
God, we're old, aren't we? We are old, man.
These tools are going to make us young again, though.
We spent, like, $500 on this digital console thing, and I learned how to use it as best of my ability, and you know, years passed, and we ended up, you know, switching bands, and then we built another studio in Gene's basement over in, when he lived in Blackmore.
Mm-hmm.
And he dropped quite a bit of money on.
I saw that studio. That thing was
badass, dude. What I mean, it was just really, really cool, and we were slowly building it up. Well, the problem was that it was built in his home, and he just had a brand new baby, and he wasn't apt to bring a bunch of people through his house in order to record. So it was just kind of like a personal thing. And then we met Dylan and Trevor with Dash Productions, and then Dylan Reed and all those cats in the Sanford's days, and the crazy Sanford's days. Quarter beers and wild alley parties, man. That place is rad. But and those guys opened up the Dash Studio over there, or they called it the Vault. It was right behind Sanford's. I don't know if you guys ever went up there and hung out with those guys, but a couple years passed, and they ended up switching gears, and Trevor went into video production, and Dylan moved on from recording music. So I ended up taking over the lease up there, and now we're putting all the stuff that was in Gene's basement back into the vault.
Oh, cool.
So we decided to keep the name, you know, to honor Dylan and those guys for getting it up and rolling. And
that's awesome, dude.
So is it primarily you that's doing the recording, or are you doing that with somebody else?
Well, we sent Colton to Casper College about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and he got his audio engineering certificate up there through Larry Berger and those guys.
So he's
been doing it for quite a while now, 3 years, I think.
Colton, who is it?
Colton Crone, he's a guitar player. Oh, yeah. Bass.
Cool.
Right. Nice.
And he's a young kid, man, but he's got some smarts on him, dude, and he's really into music, and I think he does a really great job. I mean, especially recording, you know, rock music and heavy metal or instruments in general.
Sure.
He's expanding his horizons into hip hop, and maybe even we're gonna get into maybe doing some radio stuff for like commercials for businesses.
Oh, cool!
Just, you know, an all around place for musicians to meet, because I think there's a lot of people in town that do record, you know, in their own homes or whatever, but you don't really get that camaraderie of going to a studio and hanging out at the studio. You know, there's a soda machine out front. You know, you can walk across the street to the bar and have a cocktail while you're waiting on your guitar player to hit the solo or whatever you want to do, you know. So it works out really cool, and thanks to the work that Dylan and Trevor put into the place, you know, basically all we had to do is move our gear in, and we've been remodeling for about 2 weeks, and we're pretty close to up and running. That's why I posted that post about putting
compilation.
Yeah.
Thank you. A compilation disc together, and I want to get, you know, do a free song for every band in town that I can come up with.
Dude, it's so funny. Yeah. I think one of our last podcasts kind of spawned that thought too, actually, because we were talking about like how rad it would be to, we were just sitting around BSing, I think, afterwards or something, and we realized, well, we're all musicians here.
Yeah, like, we're each in bands, so we're like, oh, right. We should do that, like come up with a thing where
I talked to Kenny Holloway, like, I think it was a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, it was right when I got back from Europe, and was picking his brain about, you know, a venue, and this is right before the Hangar opened up and really need the music scene kicked off this summer, and you know, we got to talking about the compilation that he did many years ago with Sonic Rainbow. And it's our same music, you know, and there was quite a few bands on that. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking about it and writing down all the bands in town. And man, there's probably, I mean, just off the top of my head, I came up with 20 or so.
Oh, yeah, there's a ton.
And I figured if we can get the bands to come into the studio, see how we work, see how we record, put out a quality product. I mean, we'll go ahead and get it mixed and mastered and all that stuff, and then we're going to print probably 1,000 copies. And,
awesome.
You know, we're going to just do them in cardboard leaflets, but we're going to give them for free down in Sonic Rainbow and give everybody props. And
that's awesome. Dude, I really like that.
I do too, man. And that's
we would want to do it. I need to put our page on there. That would be great. Actually, we need to record too, so we might be looking up.
Well, and that's the other reason we're doing it. You know, we figure if we give you one free song and you like the experience, then we can go ahead and get you in the studio and do some more work with you. And right now, you know, when we did our EP, we did it with Dave Otero and Flatline Audio down in Denver, and he's, you know, worked with bands like Cannibal Corpse and, you know, Cattle Decapitation and Legion and those guys, you know, really big, you know, kind of on that big underground edge of heavy metal right now.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those guys are, you know, classic heavy metal bands. But, yeah, we worked with him, and, you know, by the time we all drove down there, paid for hotel rooms, ate, did the recording, the cost of recording. I mean, a 5-song EP with a 5-piece band cost us, $6,000 probably. And we had a $3,000 loan to get it done, and we were still paying out of pocket to get it done.
Yeah.
And granted, I mean, it's a great sounding record, you know? I mean,
we did a really
good job, you know?
I reviewed it, actually.
You did review it. It was probably one of the best reviews we got. It was an epic review. I believe you were about 3 sheets to the wind on
that. I was so angry. Just a late-night drunken Facebook review. I was just like, oh, yeah, dude. I got this fucking Dead Pass album, dude. I'm going to check it out. And then, of course, just sitting here all drunk and just like, fuck yeah, dude, I should write a review on this. Like, drunken Facebooking, but just doing it with a project in mind, basically.
It was really cool because the way that transpired is we put Colton through those sound courses, and then we were working in Gene's basement studio at the time. And Colton just came up with some demo mixes, and I saw this thing on Groove 3's website, and Groove 3 is a sister company to Pro Tools, basically. And they're doing a mix and mastering competition, and if you won free distribution from CD Baby, 1,000 CDs, posters,
nice.
I mean, everything, you know?
Yeah.
And so we got with Trevor and talked to him a little bit about shooting some photography for the upcoming EP, and that was already in the works. So I said, hell, and I just dropped the tracks to Groove 3. Well, we won the competition. And that was craziness, yeah. And so when we won the competition, we were like, well, now we have 1 year to put out something. And we only had 5 songs at the time.
Yeah.
And then they contacted us back and said, we like it so much, we're going to give you guys Pro Tools for free. And so they went ahead and did that, which was really, really cool.
Yeah.
And the updated version of the program.
Wow.
And so that was really awesome. And then so we dropped the mixes to Dave down in Denver and went down and recorded with him, as opposed to doing it ourselves. And I think that's another reason why we want to get a recording studio in Casper's, because our songs were good, but when we got and worked with another producer, somebody with a third ear outside the band, they got even better. And I think that's a vital part of recording, and to have a place here in Casper to do that. I mean, we're only charging $25 an hour to track.
Nice.
So you come in, you can track all the songs for $25 an hour. We can get you guys gear. I mean, if you want to go to the music store and pick out a guitar, I can probably borrow it for the tracking session or something like that. You know what I mean? And on top of that, you know, $25 an hour to track, $100 to mix and master songs, $150 depending on how many instruments are involved.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty cheap, man. You can cut a 10-song record for you know, basically $2,000, you know.
That's
and
awesome.
That's
yeah.
unheard of.
In town.
Yeah.
Yeah, in town. Yeah. Not have to travel.
And if you just put in mega practice for like 5 days leading up to recording and like have it all laid out. It's like, all right, dude, go.
Well, you should. Like, you know, you should have
your stuff
together. But well, on the flip side of that, I mean, that's the hardest part. I mean, that's the part that I think that's what got us, you know, was the hours of tracking, because we thought we had our stuff together, and then we got in the studio and we're a little nervous and we've never really recorded, you know, and as a band together, you know, before.
Right.
And so it took a little while. That first day was pretty much throw everything away and come back the next day.
Yeah.
And at $25 an hour, man, I mean, you could sit in there all day long and track, and you're really not spending that much money.
Yeah.
You know, and we're getting, you know, and if you're in there for all day long and we're working on a record, of course we're going to help you guys out, especially, you know, right, local musicians. Not a lot of, right, you know, nobody has any money.
Right.
Not in this economy.
Yeah.
So we want to be able to help out the local scene and get that thing going. And it, you know, and on top of that, you know, we're still working with Desh. Wyman Camera Outfitters is behind us. The Vault is actually powered by quite a few businesses in town. Sparkswick's Tattoo, Wyman Camera Outfitters, Desh Productions, Malmark Management. That's another thing I wanted to tell you guys about.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. So, awesome. Yeah, what is Monarch Management? I saw that on that post.
It's Greg King's company.
Okay, gotcha, dude. I knew I'd heard it before. Yeah. Oh, Monarch King? I get it.
He got into King. He got into some personal stuff this year with his wife or that situation. So he basically handed the company over to me, and I'll be taking it over in September.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
We'll be working on some shows and doing that. So that's another reason, you know, if you want to come down to the studio and record, we can start hooking you guys up with shows.
Awesome.
I mean, we've got video production through Desh. We can get you guys videos made for a reasonable price.
That's way cool. So you have
flyers, distribution.
Deal.
Yeah. Yeah, all that stuff. That's so artwork, cool. Album art through Sparkswerks. I mean, it's a pretty cool deal, man. And I think if we can get this thing up and running and, you know, build a place for the community to come, the music community at least, to come and hang out together. I mean, hopefully we can get launched off the map here a little bit, because it's like the only, Casper's the weirdest place in the world, man. I think it's the only place in the continental United States where the river and the mountain both run east and west.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As opposed to north and south, which is really quite strange.
Yeah.
And the north-south interstate runs east and west.
Right, yeah.
I mean, there's more tattoo shops and musicians per capita here than anywhere else I've ever been.
Yeah.
Well, so, and bars too, thankfully.
Yeah. A lot of bars. Well, maybe that's the reason why nobody's launched yet. Everybody's out drinking all the time.
Right.
Well, yeah, that is true. Well, like, our music scene, I think, is, dude, like, there's been such amazing shit that's come out of Casper, and there really is, dude. Like, there's bands that have come out of Wyoming in general that people are just blown away that they came from here, or, you know, I've seen a lot of great bands come out of Casper since I've grown up here. And like, nobody just really gets out on the road and like, you know, shows the world what they've done here, you know? But I think having a local recording studio would just be another awesome piece of the puzzle as far as like developing our music scene where it's, a good launching pad for bands and and like you were talking about, all those puzzle pieces being put together, like video production and all the businesses backing it, and like,
entity, you know, where you can go in one place and be like, you know, man, I need to get this done. How am I going to get this done?
You got all the connections right there.
And I think another thing we were discussing doing is maybe starting a nonprofit, kind of like the Wyoming Blues and Jazz Society.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But doing it more along the lines of, if you want to join it, what we'll do is, you know, when you have a show, of course, we'll promote on all our websites through our group of people in that situation. And then we'll offer you discount prices on recording and that kind of stuff and
that's
on video
cool.
stuff. So you pay your dues every year to this nonprofit. And then at the end, at the fiscal year, we go through the money and we bring in a big name act, and we get the people that are part of that, you know, to vote on who should open for them. And we take the other half of the money and we put it into schools and to buy guitars for Guitar Lab. And that way the musicians can have a chance to really bring in some big name acts. I mean, I know some are coming to the event center now, but once again, I mean, how does a local band get on that bill? And, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that there is a lot of great talent here, but how do you send, I mean, with the exception of a few bands in town, if you're going to send them a press pack, how do you do that professionally? I mean,
right.
Who even in town knows how to build a proper press pack?
Right, know? Yeah.
So
sure.
To be able to come to the studio, record, get all that stuff handled and done for you, I mean, it's almost like having a manager in mm-hmm. a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then we might expand into that as well. We've also been talking about doing, since we have the space, there's so many people that want to jam but don't have a place to rock. You know, renting out the space when it's not being used for recording and letting people, you know, rehearse there and polish their craft, if you will. So that's another really option.
Cool.
So
yeah, that's cool.
That's awesome. I love that. I think there needs to be more. And I like the idea of the CD too, of all of the bands and musicians coming together and being more supportive of each other and of all genres, not just one or the other. Like, I think that's a problem with, like, well, not the problem, but when you have something like the Wyoming Blues and Jazz Society, it's labeled.
Right.
I like that idea where it's more just open up all music.
Yeah, I was thinking like Casper Music Collective or something like that.
Yeah, dude.
I like
yeah.
that. That's really cool.
Yeah.
It should happen.
And, you know, and that's the other thing is there has been recording studios here. There has been people try to open up venues here. And what it comes down to is the money. Everybody's always looking for the money.
Right.
The bands have gotten to a position in town anymore where it's really hard to get them to play for free unless they're getting something in return. Right. And I just want to put it on record that, you know, the Vault is not here to make money. I mean, we take a very small percentage as far as profit's concerned and pay the bills.
Right.
And pay my engineer. And then after that, all the money goes right back into the studio for the next project. And the money that you pay us, you know, that goes towards, you know, video production. That'll go towards getting you distribution, that'll go towards, you know, printing your CDs, that'll go towards your artwork and getting it and vectored and getting all your logos done and the time that it takes to do that. So in the end, we really pretty much break even. We're not in it to make a bunch of money. We're just in it to get everybody together, because I think if we can unite the music scene, unite the artist scene in town, and get rid of the animosity and the competition.
Yeah.
Dude, totally.
We all have a way better shot at opening that event center. And
Like a conversation I had at like the bar like a couple few weeks ago. Like, I heard this younger like 20 something dude, and he's just like, yeah, fucking, he was just talking shit on another musician, and I was like, dude, that guy is a fucking shredder. Like, what are you even talking about, man? He's like, well, I mean, I've never really like gone and heard him, but you know, I've just heard that the kind of music that he plays is just like whatever. And I was like, yeah, dude. Well, I was like, I know your buddies over there in this band or whatever. And I was like, everybody just needs to unite together behind one another. Like, no, this isn't a fucking competition. That guy that you're talking shit on, he would never say a fucking foul word about you or your buddies. Like, it's not a competition.
You know, man. Dude. And I'll tell you what, dude. I've been in Casper making music for 15 years now, something like that, 14, 15 years. And I've been guilty of it. I remember when I first started my career, when I was in my, you know, early 20s and first started with the band, and we finally got a little bit of popularity. Like, we were mouthy and arrogant. I remember when I started Dead Pass, I was to some degree mouthy and arrogant. But there's a fine line between going out in the media and saying, okay, we're the best band in Wyoming. That's one thing. Mm-hmm. But to actually sit there and degrade other musicians in a bar or talking amongst certain groups of people amongst other musicians, I mean, come on, give them a props for at least standing up stage and playing.
Dude,
exactly.
It's one thing to get on in the media and say a bunch of outlandish shit and make yourself sound good, because that's what the media is for.
Sure.
You know, if your band got in there and said, you know, put us up against Dead Pass and we'll kick their ass, I'm not going to get offended by that in a newspaper article. I'm going to take that as a challenge and call you up and be like, let's book a show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you were in the bar and you were like, you know, Brian Gray sucks and, you know, all this other stuff, that would take offense to that, because that's on a personal note.
Right.
And I think a lot of people, especially young in their music career, because there is no place to go and be collective around musicians.
Right.
They get stuck in this little clique, like, you know, when you first start your band and everything's magical, you know?
I think Casper's such a tight-knit community that, like, there's just no reason, like, if you're playing music to disparage anybody else in the scene, because you're gonna bump into them eventually, or people that they know. It's like, dude, we can all easily just get along. Like, if you don't play the same kind of music as another band, well, then you have nothing to worry about as far as competition. If you do play the same kind of music as another band, you should be stoked that you can play shows with them and have somebody to play with. It's like,
do. Yeah. And buy their merch and, you know, trade t-shirts with bands.
Right.
And support them, you know. And, like, you know, it's a... Last year, I remember... Well, maybe it was 2 years ago. I remember there was, like, no concerts in town. The music scene here was just, like, completely flattened.
Yep.
I don't know what happened. I think it was partially because Elevation closed and there was no venue. Like, there was absolutely no place to play. Especially if it was aggressive music, you know. I mean, every year there's always Bear Trap and that kind of stuff, but the diversity of the scene is getting a lot more right now, I think.
Yeah.
And this last year has been insane. I mean, there's a show almost every day.
Oh yeah, it's awesome.
And I tell everybody, you know, go out to the shows and support music. And hell, I can't make them all. I mean, so I understand if you miss a couple, but
I know.
Yeah.
But don't sit around and badmouth, you know, as a musician. Don't sit around and badmouth other musicians. And then not go to a show because you feel like you're entitled to it. You don't have to. I mean, there's so many people that play music, I think, and then don't ever go enjoy it. It's kind of strange.
You know that is weird to me. I love going to see live music.
Yeah, I mean, I don't make it out as often as I wish I did, but I'm busy as fuck, though, honestly. I really am.
Yeah, you know, and you'll have that. You know, I probably catch 3 or 4 a month, I bet.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah. I wish I could, man. Like,
but, you know, I mean, that's a reasonable... I mean, shit.
Oh, for
that's
sure.
$40-$50 a month on concerts. Yeah. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
And it's cool to go support, you know, and hang out and make connections. And I just, like I said, you know, at the studio, it's just nice that you don't have to go to a show now. You'll be able to come to the studio and do that, you know, and eventually expand out where we'll be, you know, working closely with Sonic Rainbow and, like I said, the music stores and everything else.
That's awesome.
You know, hopefully we can get musicians a discount. And
yeah, I love
kind of
that.
Thing, you know?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, I definitely like the idea of connecting the younger people that are playing instruments and stuff like that with their older counterparts. Because, like, I remember going to shows when I was, you know, in high school and stuff and seeing these guys like, holy shit, they're just doing that? You know?
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, rarely now do you see, like, you know, 13, 14-year-old dudes up there like, okay, here we go, 1, 2, 3, 4, you know.
Yeah.
Here we go, all the time, you know, and it was like, I'm going to try it now, and you're going to try it now, you know, and there's that camaraderie, but it's, every time I see younger kids, like, get up there and do it, I just, man, it makes me flip my shit. I love it.
Yeah,
it's great. They probably think I'm this weird dude, and I'm like, you guys got to keep fucking rocking.
Don't stop.
Yeah.
Yep.
But for them to be able to, you know, check out the studio environment and be able to see that in action and see what that's like and kind of break down a little bit of that intimidation stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I really think that doing a track for free for these bands, for this compilation disc, is great because then
they
have no experience and then come in and try it once and decide if, okay, we need more practice before we go and decide to drop, you know, $1,000 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it's like for you, but when you hold your first CD in your hand that you make, it is like the coolest feeling in the world, dude.
And I still don't know the feeling. I was in a band for 5 years and we never got to that day. Soon we'll have one music video to show for all that
cool.
work, though, dude.
Shooting that.
Mm-hmm. We already shot it, actually. Our buddy Tim Kupsick.
Oh, right on.
He shot it, and Bob Marnell, our old guitarist, like him and Travis and... like whoever else was there.
There was like 27 people in your band.
Well, yeah. There was 8. But yeah, like Travis and Bob and all those guys like handled all the recording stuff. We set it up in the Rialto Cigar Studio down there because it was a song I wrote about the old dude that used to work there, Neil.
Yeah, Neil.
And like so this song was the book, it's called The Book of Old Man Neil, and like he passed away not too long ago. So
last
the cigar shop was just empty, and there's talk of like maybe remodeling it or something. There, it's still up in the air, but when I heard that it might be changed at some point forever, then like Tim like got us in there because he knows the guys that own it, and like he got us in there, and he's a way good at video and produces commercials and stuff. So
cool.
He shot it and we recorded it, and right now Bob's just mixing all the audio down, and it's taking a little while because he's in the process of moving, but pretty soon we'll get that audio, and then Tim's going to put it together, and it will be awesome, dude, to have, fuck, man, just to be able to say, like, yes, dude.
Yeah, check out my band, you know? Like,
yes, we did this. Like, here's proof that we were a band for 5 years.
Yeah, it's such a crazy thing, man. You know, we had in this moment, well, actually it was 1111 Productions out of Montana hit us up in April about opening for In This Moment, and they decided to go a different direction and choose different support, and I understand, I mean, we're heavy as hell, dude, so I understand that situation, but I mean, I think that's the only time I've ever been contacted by a management company to do that, and the only reason we got contacted is because we had good content, and, you know, to try to launch yourself out of Casper is, like, one of the hardest things in the world, dude, because nobody wants to, especially when you're a metal band, nobody takes you seriously. I mean, you're, Casper, where's that? Where's Casper on, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, if, like I said, if we all band together and start maybe a nonprofit and all kind of get together and start working and build our connections and help each other out, I mean, it'll be a lot more fruitful for every musician in town, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, because let's face it, I mean, to make money in the music industry is basically almost impossible to do on your own.
I've never done it for the money.
Yeah. I mean,
I've never even considered it.
I consider myself a professional musician just because I don't have any other job, really. So, I mean, I tattoo and make music for a living, dude, so.
Yeah.
I don't know how, if that's what it takes to be professional, then I guess I am, but okay. I'm definitely not the best musician in town, so.
Well, that's awesome. So you also do tattoo work?
Yeah, I'm working at Sparksworks Tattoo. I also work at a place in Germany when I go over there. I'll be going back in December to learn the native language, if you will, for a month or so. And yeah, just tattooing is hand-in-hand with music, I suppose.
Artistic-wise.
It's pretty cool. I mean, it's a cool job. It's stressful as hell sometimes, but I guess every job is.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, it's great, man, and I'm so happy I fell into that. It's funny because when I quit my last job, I was going to just say, you know, I'm going to play music for a living, and I was working as a machinist and ran a machine shop for about 8 years, and when I quit, I said, you know, screw this, sold my car, and basically lived out of a backpack for 6 months and almost fucking starved to death, dude. Like, I was literally just trying to book solo gigs and bars and just become a musician, you know, and maybe go to California or something. It was, this is like 5 years ago, 4.5, 5 years ago. I walked into a tattoo shop and was just sitting there BSing with some friends and did a little drawing, and bam, next thing you know, I'm a tattooer, so.
Awesome.
I can thank God for that one.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So when you go to Germany, like, how'd you get set up with that, where you were doing that over there?
I was standing outside the tattoo shop smoking a cigarette on Center Street, and this pretty blonde girl walked by and said, hey, let me see your tattoos. She had a sleeve.
Uh-huh.
She happened to be from Germany.
Oh, wow.
And I met her on the street in Casper, and it was her last day in town, and so we went out and had a couple drinks and bullshitted, and I took her to the airport, and we built a friendship over Facebook, and
that was
4 years ago, and I'd never been on an airplane. I'd never been out of country.
Oh my
nothing.
God.
And
that's huge.
I knew her for a month and a half on Facebook and booked a ticket and flew myself by myself to Europe.
I remember that.
Wow. I was freaking out.
What was that? What was that like for your first flight? Holy shit.
It was nuts. And then I landed in the airport, and I'm thinking to myself, man, like, I can barely remember her face in real life. Like, I got a Facebook photo. And I'm like, I really hope this girl shows up. Because I didn't talk to her in 2 days, you know, by the time I travel and get, and it's 8 hour time difference. She's asleep and I'm awake. And, and that first trip was eye opening. I came back a different person. Actually, I came back and started Dead Pass.
That's cool.
That's kind of where the band started. It was, came back. She was in a heavy metal band over there.
Oh, wow.
I went over there and saw her band play and went to rehearsals. And I was like, man, I miss music. Came home and started a new metal band, so.
Awesome. Well, that's
pretty good. And then the Bearded Bastards got formed. So we do that side project, and we go over to Germany and play the bars, just two acoustic guitars, dude. Your band.
Cool. You guys went to Germany, both you guys?
Yeah, me and Lane did,
Oh, no shit, that's awesome.
Yeah, we walked into this bar one night, dude, and we look at the bartender, and we're like, hey, can we play here tonight? And I kind of knew him from the last trip. And he was like, I tell nobody you come, so if you want to, go ahead, there's no one here. And I said, we'll fix that. And so we posted a bunch of stuff on Facebook and over there, and a bunch of people showed, and the bar's just packed, dude.
Wow.
And there's no stage, so we just, like, sat on the bar, like, on top of the bar, and started playing.
Badass.
Dude, it was a rager, bro. They asked us back the next night, and the next night we packed it again. That's it's like bar called the Ilga. It's like 400 years old. It's in like the back of this house, like in the alley type. It was awesome, dude. It was a blast.
That's probably, dude, that's got to be one of the reasons why Chad Lohr always loved going to Europe. And like, dude, that's how he met his wife there.
Spain or whatever, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, doing the thing.
Dude, it's crazy. You can sit on the street in Europe with your guitar as an American and sing and play. And, dude, I'd make €25-30 an hour.
Damn, dude.
Just sitting there on the corner playing. Cool. You know, in the marketplace.
I know, dude. Like, I think Chad Lohr is really the only, like, true professional musician I know in Casper. Yeah, the guy that he does nothing else but play music, and that's how he pays his bills.
Well, it's crazy. I mean, here, you sit down. I mean, maybe now with the Pokemon thing, it might be a little different. But you sit downtown here and throw your guitar case out and start playing, and people walk by you like you're a bum.
Yeah. I know.
You know? Yeah. And in Europe, people, like, stop and sing and, like, hang out and ask questions, where you're from, and, you know, the whole thing. And here it's like, unless you meet the guy in the bar, you're not supposed to talk to him or something. Right. Like, people in the street are crazy if they got a guitar in their hand. I don't get it. Culturally, it's so completely different.
It's weird.
And, you know, thank goodness for the Wonder Bar so we can all hang out and talk to each other. Otherwise, none of us see each other.
That's
true.
Hell yeah, dude.
I gotta love those guys for promoting the music and keeping it going.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
If I wasn't on call, that's where I'd
in there, man.
Yeah, dude.
It's right here right now. Yeah.
Fuck, after this podcast, that's where I'd head. But, but yeah, dude. Obi, man, has been getting...
He's been killing it. I just met him recently when the Joe Buck tour came through.
Yeah.
I actually showed up at the Wonder Bar early, was having lunch, and Joe Buck was sitting at the bar, and I got to hang out with him on his bus, and, like, that was pretty cool.
Nice.
And,
Obi's a great...
That's when I met Obi.
Like, he literally, I think, what was it, last year, when he first had the first Roaming Buffalo? Yeah. Like, just a few months leading up to it, he had already printed out business cards that, you know, Roaming Buffalo Music Festival with his number, and, like, I knew him, like, fairly well. I'd been on like a trip to Denver with him a few years prior, and like I kind of just knew him from around and stuff, and like we were pretty good buddies, like in a sense that we'd see each other at the bar and bullshit and whatever, but it just kind of blew my mind, because he's just like, yeah, dude, I've just been going and knocking on doors, and I've got a bunch of sponsors, and I'm starting to get a few bucks put together, and I'm starting to build this set list and, like, get some contacts and get this thing kind of going. You guys want to, like, play for it? Play a little set? And I was like, yeah, sure, dude. And I did not expect it to be a whole lot, honestly, dude. And then, like, as it started getting closer and closer, started seeing the set list and, like, looking up some of these people on YouTube and shit. And I was like, damn, Obi, like, you're putting together a pretty legit deal here, dude. And, like, fucking... We went there and played and stayed there all day, and it was one of the coolest
That was where we formed this podcast, actually.
Yeah, was it?
Miranda, that's when you came over and you were like, hey, you know, do that recording stuff. We're going to do
I know. That's amazing. And I just talked to him about last night. He's bringing in like 15 more bands that are all new besides Easy Side.
Yeah. You know, he's been able to grow, obviously, with his connections and his outreach and everything.
It's really cool. I mean, that's the thing about
he started that just knocking on doors, dude, and just saying, like, I want to just start something in town. Like, you know, like Bear Trap's awesome, but I kind of want to get something like right here in town, where you don't have to drive up a mountain and all, and like, dude, that he just took that idea and made it happen. It's pretty amazing.
I think in that genre of music, it's a lot easier to pull off too. I mean, it's a Jody out at the Sunset Bar and Grill. She does all the metal fests and you know that kind of thing. And there really isn't to get a good heavy metal concert in town, man. You really have to work at it. Like, I'm really excited to see Megadeth. I mean, I'm sure they'll pull thousands of people because it's Megadeth, you know. But, I mean, there's so many touring bands that come through here. I mean, for instance, we had this this band called Repaid in Blood and another one. He's going to kill me. Now that I can't think of the name of it right now. Oh, In Death. And they're one of them's from Australia, and they came through last year on the same day that the Bear Trap thing was going on.
Oh.
And literally played to us.
Oh, yeah. No.
That was it. Like, one person came.
No.
Damn.
Yeah,
I've seen that happen here a few times. People.
But I mean, we had a blast. It was at the VFW, and we had a blast. There was like 12 of us. We all rocked, and then we closed the doors and hung out.
Amazing bands come through there, and there's like no one there.
No one.
Well, they don't do a great job of advertising either.
We advertised for a couple of weeks, but things like Bear Trap and Worming Buffalo and the Beer Fest.
It overtakes it.
Dude, it just blows it.
I think another thing with like your studio and like getting kind of a conglomerate together with several different facets of music, like you can really get like some media exposure on a lot of different fronts. And like, dude, there'll be shows that I just don't like. I'll be like, what, dude, they played here last week? Are you kidding? Like, I just don't hear shit. Yeah, you have to really go out, look for it, and try, and like stop by Sonic Rainbow, which is great. That's a great time.
Stop by that place. That's the hub right now. And what's cool is the vault's right up the street. It's right around the corner.
Right.
And so everything's going to be downtown, all this central like place where you can, walk a block to the music store or a block to the studio.
But it'll be cool to just when you've got Sonic Rainbow and you guys and like Dash and like all these different elements like coming together, like, that's a lot more channels to tell us about the shows. We'll disperse them. Like, I mean, Casper Underground and Casper Musicians Network, a couple of those Facebook pages. That's a great place to go to like find out about upcoming shows and stuff like that. But
And now that there's a couple things going on, I don't know if I'm blowing the whistle on this, but I'm pretty sure that K-Ted's moving to a more local aspect instead of a more regional aspect. And Donnie Root has been great, promoting shows and helping musicians out over the years. And now that T-Roy's gone from 96.7, you got Nike and those cats down there and Joe, and those guys do a really good job, about trying to keep the local stuff involved. And I think a lot of times is that everybody gets stuck in the Facebook and they get stuck on their Spotify and they get stuck. They forget to actually look. They forget to turn on the radio just for a few minutes to see if something's up or watch the news,
Man, I would like to see the radio stations around here start to evolve a little bit, and I think that they are, like you said, because man, like growing up here all my years, I get so fucking sick of hearing the same Def Leppard song every time I turn on the radio. This is not 1984 anymore, dude. Please, dude.
Do something.
Have you changed what's playing on this station in 30 years, dude? Like, come on, man. And so, it gets frustrating. And I would love to see there be more, like, not like top 40 shit, but, just like something different. Like, local stuff, a lot bigger chunk.
Remember Donnie had the heavy set every Saturday night, and like, it'd be cool to have some programs like that when Fox was doing locals only.
Yeah,
we're listening to locals only.
That was awesome.
We did that a couple times as well.
Yeah,
and so we want to,
that stuff's
that's
great.
That's the biggest thing is to restart something like that. You need a recording studio in town so that these bands can come in and they can get quality recorded material. And then if we get everybody together, then we can approach a radio station together as one and be like, hey, why don't you do a show every week with local music?
Absolutely.
It's all here.
Yeah.
And if we just start, I think if we just saturate the market here with local music and really help each other promote shows that people are going to find some really great bands in town
that
they're going to want to go out and see again,
Absolutely.
I mean, Brother Wind, you guys, Chad Lore, I mean, the list goes on and on about really great acts in town, that do their job and they go out and they rehearse, and it's not like it was, maybe 8 or 10 years ago where you had a bunch of garage bands with crappy gear and every local show is just kind of like a big sound barrage, crappy PA equipment. I mean, we're working really closely with Carl Jones and setting up great sound and Obi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he does a really good sound too. And
he's getting
technology is out there now. These shows are really fun to go to. There's lights and lasers, and it's not like it was, 5 or 6 years ago. So if you haven't been to a local show lately, go check one out.
Yeah,
I mean, it's $10, dude.
All the time.
If that,
it's a good time. You're gonna see somebody You're gonna have a cold beer and you'll be entertained. And you're not at the movies or spending $100 in the bar. You know what I mean?
And you're supporting local. You're supporting your friends.
Yeah. And that's another thing I want to really express to bands. Don't expect your friends to come support you at a concert.
Right. That'll happen for a few times.
If you want to be successful as a musician, get out and work your ass off.
Exactly.
Hand out flyers.
Yeah.
Contact people. Get face to face with people.
Right.
You can't be on Facebook all the time and expect people to build an event page.
Right.
I mean, how many times have you seen that? An event page that says 150 you're going, 25 people
right.
show up.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So don't expect that to happen. Get out there, sell pre-sale tickets. Get up in people's faces.
Well, that's why you have to have a band with 8 people in it, dude. So it's like all of it. Invite their friends.
So you get 10% of everybody's friends and it's a show.
So
you hearing that, guys? We gotta add more people to that.
Hype men.
Yes.
Dancers.
Mm-hmm. That's why the rapper shows work so well, because they put like 25 rappers on one show. And then all their girlfriends show up and it's like it's like a concert.
Yeah.
That ICP thing that's coming is going to be cool.
ICP is coming?
Yeah. Really?
What? I didn't know that.
That's been announced for quite a while now.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, we're bringing Bernalo.
I'm going anywhere near that show.
Yeah, let's go.
Hey, ICP.
Oh, that'd be so rad. Show up in cowboy boots and like spurs and shit.
We can't.
I was just making sure.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, we're bringing Burn Halo in September out to the Sunset Bar and Grill. I don't know if you guys know who they are, but they went on the radio, and they got a couple, 6 million views on YouTube, so.
Damn.
They're pretty legit.
Dang.
Yeah.
Where are they from?
So, I want to say California, L.A.
Oh, okay.
Burning Halo?
Burn Halo.
Yeah. Oh, Burn Halo.
Yeah, there'll be a bunch of announcements coming soon. We posted a little teasers on it, but
nice.
That'll be my first official show for Monarch.
I wonder if they're gamers and just got real pissed. Playing Halo one day.
Playing it.
Burrow. Halo.
Sticky grenade to the face.
Well, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, this is cool,
man. Awesome.
Yeah, Brian, thanks.
I'm really excited about this.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear this because I can't remember everything I said. So.
How do people, what's the best way to get down to the studio and check
yeah.
it out?
Yeah.
Well, honestly, the best way to do right now is just shoot us a message through Facebook. And
the Vault?
The Vault, right?
The Vault, yeah, on Facebook. Or contact Sparks Tattoo, where I work.
Okay.
And just leave a message on the machine concerning the Vault, and we'll get back at you. Drop us a number, like I said, on Facebook. We'll call you back.
Cool.
We're finishing the remodel this weekend, and we'll be officially open for not a grand opening yet, but open next weekend.
Awesome.
Plan on holding our grand opening when we announce all the people for the compilation disc.
Awesome.
So, and that'll be beginning of fall. So we're going to take some time, get all the bugs worked out over the course of the summer, and then by fall we'll be legitimately open and advertising. But if anybody wants to come in before then, just get a hold of us and we'll find some time for you.
Right on.
So,
cool.
Yeah, it's great. Thanks for having me, man. This is
awesome.
Yeah,
thanks
yeah.
for having
you, man.
Anything for the music scene.
And
absolutely.
August 4th, the Art Walk downtown. So
sweet.
Make sure you guys check that out. That'll be really cool.
Awesome.
Cool.
The Bearded Bastards are playing at the Wonder Bar.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
And then there's a free concert upstairs. There's live painting, all sorts of stuff going on.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Thursday, August 4th. So,
dude, the Art Walk's awesome.
Oh,
the Art Walk
been
is awesome.
Amazing. That's
it's
another
so
music thing
yeah.
that's happening.
Yeah, Brother Wind is playing, I think, over at Ad Bay.
That's right.
And, like,
yeah.
It's
yeah,
like
a whole bunch of bands playing downtown.
Yeah, dude. It's amazing, yeah.
Cool.
Pop by for a couple beers at Ad Bay, so then you can stroll on over to the Wonder Bar.
Yeah.
Pull up a stool.
Art walk it out.
Frosty's is doing some stuff, I think.
Nice.
I'm doing a big sidewalk chalk mural out in front of the Wonder Bar on the sidewalk. So
cool.
Oh, cool.
I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I think I'm going to do like the picture of the horse in the bar, but I might do something wild and weird. I'm excited. So.
Awesome.
Just make one of those big, like, I don't know, make a sandworm swallowing you from the side.
Dude, all 3D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
sounds hard to do, man.
Dude, that shit's insane, man.
That's craziness.
Blows
right.
my mind. Well, thanks a lot, Brian, for popping over and
for sure.
chatting with us, man.
Ciao.
Cool.
See ya.